It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We hope you'll come back at every opportunity that you have. There may be times when you're trying to maybe set up a home Bible study with someone, and you may not be able to get them to commit to a number of lessons as you might would like for them to do. I know the one that I like doing is about four lessons, and we strive to get those done in 4 weeks' time, about an hour each lesson, and sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes they're a little bit longer. Give an example of that, one that should take about an hour, took about 2 hours this afternoon. That's okay, because sometimes people have questions. They want to know what words mean, and so it takes a little longer sometimes. But you may be trying to set up a home Bible study with someone. They may say, you know, I'm not really going to commit to a 4 week study or a 5 week or whatever the case may be, whatever material you choose to use, or maybe you want to come up with your own, whatever the case may be. But you may talk to someone, they may say, I'll study with you one time. I'll give you at least an hour or 30 minutes and have at least one study with you. Maybe that might lead to others, but maybe it won't. And so there's a number of ways that you can approach that. You might take a lesson from Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 3, where the Bible talks about that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so you might do a study with them just in that one study about all the things the Bible says in the New Testament that are in Christ. And then close that out with showing the kicker to that, how to get into Christ, from Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I want to share with you another little series that you might do with someone if they're interested in doing that. I think I've preached this. In fact, I know I have here, and I think it's been a while. But if it's not been a while, you may have already forgotten about it. And if you haven't, that's okay. I'll just remind you about these things. And this is only 5 points. And so you might take a little sheet of paper out and number that as we go through this little outline. Just 5 points that you can share with someone. It makes a good home study if you only have that one opportunity to study with them. In the book of Matthew chapter 17 was our scripture reading. In verse 20 the Bible says, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And so Jesus tells the disciples that nothing shall be impossible to you. But then if you come over to Matthew chapter 19 and notice in verse 26 that Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so there's a number of things that the Bible talks about in the New Testament that are possible and a number of things that are impossible. And so this whole study tonight, I'm going to use as a sermon, just basically talks about 5 impossible things. It's a sermon that's fun to preach, easy to preach, easy to get a handle on, and it's a good sermon to use to study with someone in a home Bible study. And the first one I want to point out to you, all these are very simple. By the way, if you're studying with individuals, you've obeyed the gospel. Most of you have. But if you're studying with individuals who are not Christians, you have to keep it simple. If you don't, you're going to lose them. They don't know what you know. They haven't even obeyed yet. So they can start as a newborn baby in Christ. So you have to keep it simple. The first thing that I share with individuals, I want to share with you, that it is impossible to be saved without Christ. We know many verses where the Bible talks about the love of God. John 3:16. Most people you study with know John 3:16. In fact, if they can quote a passage, if they can quote a verse, they probably can quote John chapter 3 and in verse 16. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so a number of passages talk about the love that God has toward us. We cannot be saved without Christ. Folks that you teach, folks that are here tonight who have not obeyed the gospel, need to realize that you cannot be saved without Jesus. In Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a child and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know the rest of that For he shall save his people from their sins. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, Paul penned to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. God, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, plus salvation in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so you cannot be saved without Christ. It's impossible to be saved without Christ. And so when you're studying with someone, or you're listening to me this evening, you've got to understand that that is impossible to be saved without Jesus Christ. God made provision for our salvation. In fact, I pointed out to you, I think it was last week, how Jesus died for everybody. A passage I love is 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 2, where Jesus is a propitiation, which means a covering, he says, for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And when you're studying with individuals, you might want to give them plenty of other verses. Just don't lose them as you go through your study with them. But also, it's not only impossible to be saved without Christ, it is impossible to be saved without the blood of Christ. The Lord talked about in Matthew 26 through 28, that His blood will be shed for the sins, for the remission of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and he's not talking about our sins are not remitted by the blood of bulls and of goats, which is impossible for the offerings like that to take away our sins in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. But the blood of Jesus was shed for our sins. That is unto the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. Or Peter would talk about in 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 through 20, that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, being redeemed not by corruptible things, but of incorruptible, by the blood of Christ that was shed as a lamb, the Bible talks about. Or the passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins by through His blood, redemption through His blood, and the forgiveness of sins. And so those passages are ones that we need to be able to point out to individuals, that it is impossible to be saved without Christ. It is impossible to be saved without His blood. It is impossible to be saved without the gospel of Christ. You'd be surprised. Maybe you wouldn't. I'd say that you would be. I know I'm surprised. When I study with individuals and they have no concept really of what the Bible defines as being the gospel of Christ. Sometimes individuals think that the gospel of Christ or the message of Christ or the doctrine or the teaching of Christ is just a whole Bible. They go back to the Old Testament, to the law of Moses, and they think that that is the gospel of Christ. Well, I have news for you. You can't be saved by the Old Testament law of Moses. The book of Romans and a lot of passages point out the fact that we can't be justified by the law of Moses. By the way, gospel just simply means what? Good news. There's a lot of good news that is associated with the fact that Jesus came into the world. We cannot be saved without the gospel of Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile or the Greek. In the book of James chapter 1, and in verse 20, the Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Or 22, he says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We've got to do what God says to do. And then verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Got to obey the gospel. Without obedience to the gospel, we'll talk about that in just a moment, we could not be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. A lot of folks think that the gospel, the good news of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, is just a bunch of foolishness. I like this sermon. It talking about what the world esteems as being foolish. Notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Well, what do we have to be busy about? Preaching the gospel of Christ. Not my opinion, your opinion, or some other substitution that someone wants to give, but the gospel of Christ. Without the gospel of Christ, it is impossible to be saved. We've got to point that out to individuals. Someone says, well, sometimes the word gospel means the whole system by which we are saved. Sometimes it does. Like in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, and sometimes specifically he's talking about and mentioning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. But also it is impossible to be saved without the church of Christ. That ought not be offensive to people, but it is many times. And maybe it is because of a lack of understanding on their part. But they look at that and they say, well, how narrow-minded that is and how offensive it is to think that you folks have a copyright on salvation. Oh, we didn't claim a copyright on salvation, did we? To think that you folks are the only ones going to heaven. Well, we have to go with what the Bible says, and the Bible says that the only church in which there is salvation in is the church of Christ. If you're studying a home study with people, be a little bit slow here, a little bit tactful in the way that you explain it to them so they don't just shut down on you. But sometimes folks get aggravated about that, and it's basically just because they don't know what you know. They don't know what the Bible says about the church of which Jesus purchased with His own blood. And I never shy away from saying the church of Christ. And I know gospel preachers, they do that. They do it fairly often. They just say, well, if I say church of Christ, well, that's just going to run people off, so I'll just say church. Or some churches just want to take down the sign that says church of Christ because now that's offensive and we just need to put Christians meet here. And then we'd say anything else, well, folks, they're just not going to come. We just want to get them in here and then let them kind of figure it out when they get here. Well, if they're offended at the designation, Church of Christ, when it's above the door, when they get inside, what makes you think they're going to like it any better? Well, they're not going to. But it's impossible to be saved without the Church of Christ. And you've got to show that to people, to explain to them that only within the church is their salvation. You see, Jesus is the Savior of the body. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 25. And when folks obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, the Lord added them to, not to a church, but to the church. What church? The church of Christ. It had never changed from being that way, by the way. Doesn't matter if it's 2020 or 3020. Whatever the case may be, there is no salvation outside of the Lord's church. And you can point out a number of passages to individuals that there is but one body, Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 4. You're familiar with that. Or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body." That is not one body made up of many denominations. That won't work. The Bible doesn't teach that. And then when you drop down to 1 Corinthians 12, 20, "For as there are many members, but yet one body." The only way that you'll go to heaven is to be in the kingdom of Christ, Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, because that is the only kingdom of which the Lord is going to deliver up to the Father when the end comes, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Now, they may have a lot of questions about that, by the way. You can stop there and explain whatever you need to explain to them. When I do a home Bible study with folks, I don't try to rush through it. If folks have questions about something we're studying about, that's a good time to answer the question. Don't just brush it off and go through it, and unless it's something that would take a long time, it might be better served to come back. On a lesson, I think I might have mentioned this to you, that should take about an hour. We just finished our third week, a total of 6 hours, and we're still not finished with lesson 1, but that's okay. Because questions come up along the way, and sometimes that happens. It's okay. But I want the person I'm studying with to get it. So when they obey it, they know what they're obeying. They don't have to say later, well, I just really know. You can avoid that by teaching it and teaching it well. To the last point that I want to share with you. A lot of verses you can put under this. It is impossible to be saved without obedience. We live in a do-nothing type of religious world. We're probably the largest denomination, the Baptist Church, and there's a lot of splints and splinters of the Baptist Church, and not all of them believe the same. But the ones that hold to the Calvinist idea, the perseverance of the saints, are once saved, always saved. You don't have to do anything to get saved. You don't have to do anything to stay saved. And so that appeals to a lot of people. Because you don't have to do anything in order to be saved. Because if you do, then somehow you're trying to merit your own salvation. And so they say Jesus paid it all on the cross. There's nothing left for you to do. Just simply believe. That's a verb of action. So even to do that, you got to do something. That's beside the point. And then once you become a Christian, according to him, you don't have to do anything to stay saved because nothing you can do will cause you to lose your salvation. So it isn't any wonder to me why thousands, if not millions of people adhere to teaching like that. But the Bible teaches us that we cannot be saved without obedience to Christ. Got to obey. A lot of people hear the gospel and they believe it. They'll agree with every word of the preacher. I believe that. I believe everything he said. I believe that you can't be saved without Christ's blood. The gospel, I even believe that you have to be a member of the church of the Bible. But then they do nothing about it. Are they saved? They believe it. Are the devils saved? The book of James chapter 2 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? You got to obey. In Acts 2:37, what shall we do? It's asked a number of times in the New Testament. In Acts 22:16, when the God-sent preacher Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus, what are you waiting for? Get up. Don't do anything. It's already been paid for in full. Is that what he said? What are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. Or why tarriest thou, the King James Version says. And be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Simple. You got to obey. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And over in chapter 7, verse 24, about those two builders, the wise builder and the foolish. I want to point out to people what made the difference. What was the difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder? Because one heard and obeyed, did, and one did not. You don't want to be a foolish builder, do you? You got 5 points and 5 points only to share with someone. You can knock that out on your phone. Give them plenty of references to study and nail it down tight that there are some things that are just impossible. It's impossible to be saved without Christ, without His blood, without His gospel, without His church, and without obedience. And when you conclude that study, much like I'm concluding the sermon tonight, it's impossible for you to become a Christian except you respond to the invitation. At the end of a good home Bible study, you need to ask people you study with, are you ready to obey? Now that you know, are you ready? What's hindering you from doing it? That's a good timeless question. Like the eunuch asked, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Sometimes people don't obey because they were never asked to obey. They think they have to have a personal invitation. You can take care of that by asking them, what are you waiting for? Why tarry yourself? And answer any questions that they might have. Are you ready to obey? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, why not respond to the invitation and become a child of God by hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you drifted away, went back out into the world of sin, but you want to come home, you want to be restored, repent of your unfaithfulness, we'll pray to God with you, for you. Don't delay. Come right now.